Creation, Science, and the Bible by Robert C. Newman. An abstract of the talk here. Don't the teachings of science contradict those of the Bible? It's true that many scientists have interpreted nature in ways that contradict the Bible, and that many Bible believers have interpreted the Bible in ways that contradict nature. But we suggest there is no real contradiction when we look at what the Bible and nature really say. We consider the origin of the universe, fine-tuning its basic forces, the origin of the earth, of life and its diversity, and the origin of humans. Following this, we provide a tour of Genesis chapter 1 and show how its details and those of the current model for the origin and early history of the earth fit together. It appears that the author of nature and the author of scripture are one and the same. Now the Bible opens with these words, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Genesis chapter 1:1-3. Problem stated. Don't these teachings from science contradict these words from the Bible? Isn't it impossible for a person to be a scientist and believe in God? No, I don't think there's any real contradiction. I'm a scientist who believes in God. I believe there's good evidence for the existence of the God revealed in the Bible. I believe there's a reasonable harmonization between nature and scripture. It is true that many scientists have interpreted nature so as to contradict the Bible. Likewise, many Bible believers have interpreted the Bible to contradict nature. To see if there's any real contradiction, we must see what the Bible and nature actually say. That's what we want to try and do here. Consider first cosmology. The Bible says there was a beginning when God created heaven and earth. Until recently, many scientists have claimed that the universe has always existed. Evidence now indicates that the universe, at least all the universe we can observe, began from nothing at a finite time in the past. Thus, nature says there was a beginning. Fine-tuning. The Bible pictures God as having made the universe by his wisdom. Scientists who are atheists claim the universe is the way it is by chance. It now appears that the universe is marvelously adjusted to allow life to exist. We investigate that in some of our other PowerPoint talks. think of Cosmos in Contact as one of those that deals with this particular question. Some books that deal with this question, Hugh Ross, the Creator in the Cosmos, would be one of these, Paul Davies, Accidental Universe, etc. It now appears the universe is marvelously adjusted to allow life to exist. Thus, nature says, the universe is designed. What about the origin of the earth? Bible believers often claim the earth was made instantly in its finished form just a few thousand years ago. Nature seems to teach that the earth had a long history before it reached its present form. I believe the biblical account of creation in Genesis 1 is consistent with this evidence for an old earth from astronomy and geology. Origin of life. The Bible says God created life. Some scientists claim that life arose from non-life by purely natural processes. But the complex functionality of living things seems clearly to surpass what could happen by chance in our universe. We address this in more detail in our PowerPoint talk, Creation Evolution Debate, Recent Developments, and Computer Viruses, Artificial Life, and the Origin of Life. I'll refer you to those two talks for some more detail here. But the complex functionality of living things seems clearly to surpass what could happen by chance in our universe. Thus, nature points to something beyond itself in containing the phenomena we call life. The diversity of life. The Bible says that God made the diverse living things, but does not give us much information about how he did so. Many scientists claim that all the variety of life evolved from the simplest living things by purely mindless random processes. Detailed studies of the fossil record, however, and of current life point to some sort of intelligent guidance or intervention. Again, consider my PowerPoint talks, Creation Evolution Debate, Recent Developments, Cosmos in Contact, and the Computer Viruses, Artificial Life and Evolution. Origin of Humans. Bible says God made humans in his own image. Many scientists claim humans developed naturally from the apes. Well, humans are quite similar physically to the apes, but there's a great chasm between them in regard to intellect, initiative, spirituality. Of course, there are scientists who hope that somehow this chasm will be reduced, that they can show how purely natural forces span this chasm, but we should not mistake research projects for results. This great chasm and the enormous features in the area of intellect, initiative, and spirituality of humans don't look like something that happened by chance. So, what we try to suggest here is that when we're looking at nature and scripture, that they're consistent with each other in these areas, even though sometimes the standard interpretation of science is not consistent with scripture, or the traditional interpretation of scripture isn't consistent with some features that appear to be in nature. We want to finish up our talk with a tour of Genesis 1, comparing nature and scripture. Scripture tells us that in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. And nature shows us the beginning, perhaps the Big Bang. I would take that to be the most likely model currently available. The scripture goes on to say that the earth was formless and empty, and the evidence we have from nature suggests that the earth and the sun formed from a cloud of gas and dust, and that this cloud would have been at one point a better vacuum than we can make on earth, and would have been basically shapeless, amorphous, if you like, the same sort of idea. The scripture speaks of darkness over the surface of the deep. And if we imagine that the narrative in Genesis is being told from the perspective of someone who is going to be standing on the surface of the earth as the earth is formed, and is riding along with some part of what will be the earth before it's formed, then that person would be inside the gas cloud, and as the gas cloud begins to contract, it would become dark everywhere inside. It would be dark over the surface of the deep. Then God says, let there be light. And the evidence we have from nature suggests that this gas cloud with further contraction begins to glow, and it's now light everywhere inside the gas cloud. Light everywhere. Then the scriptural account goes on to speak of God separating the light from the darkness. And indeed, our observer now will be pushed outside of the bulge that's going to form the sun and will come out with the material that's going to form the planets into the equatorial sheet, if you like, that's going to form the planetesimals into the planets. And this material to form the planets is pushed outside the central bulge, and now you can look up in one direction and see darkness, and look over towards the bulge and see light. So you get a separation of light from darkness. God calls the light day, and he calls the darkness night. Now in Hebrew, just as in English, day and light are not the same thing, and darkness and night are not the same thing. Day is a particular kind of light when you're on the sun side of our planet, and night is a particular kind of darkness when you're on the away from the sun side of our planet. And we would call day and night the same thing if we were on Jupiter or Mars or presumably even some extra solar planets. Well, in our model constructed from nature, the planets then form out of these planetesimals that have been pushed out in this equatorial band. And as the planets form, their rotation then produces day and night on their surface, or observers now on the surface of the formed planet. Then the Genesis account says, let the waters be gathered together and let the land appear. And we understand from geology that the motion of the plates, the continental plates or the tectonic plates, produces continental material and basin material, and the water drains off into the basins and the continents rise above the surface of the water, so you have the water being gathered into the basins and the land appearing. Then the Genesis account says, let the land produce vegetation. And indeed, hereafter, plant life appears on land. Then the Genesis account says, let the sun, moon, and stars appear in the sky. And people on both sides have often taken this as a disagreement between the Bible and science, that the Bible has the sun, moon, and stars created after the earth, and nature, astronomy, science has the sun, moon, and stars made before the earth, etc. And my suggestion is that both of these are misreading what's going on in the account, and that what we have here is the observing from the surface that the sun, moon, and stars appear in the sky. And that this is what we would expect from the information we have from nature, that after the plant life has appeared on land, the plants begin to oxygenate the Earth's atmosphere, which before this had little oxygen, and the oxygenation of the atmosphere, pulling carbon dioxide out and putting oxygen in, changes the greenhouse capabilities of the atmosphere so that they are no longer so able to trap heat. And the air atmosphere cools down, and it clears the sky so that the sun, moon, and stars become visible. The plants also, by oxygenating the atmosphere, provide air that animals can breathe. Then the biblical account says, let the waters and air fill with animals, and marine and air animals appear. Not probably birds at this point in the account, although I suspect that the Genesis account events overlap, but you already have flying insects of some sort, so marine and air animals appear. Then it says, let the land produce various animals, and indeed, land animals appear. And finally, the Genesis account says, let us make mankind in our image, and humans appear last in the fossil record. So there's our tour of Genesis 1, and the information we have from nature regarding the origin of the early history of the Earth. We have a striking correlation, then, between nature and Scripture. They both picture a universe with a beginning. They both picture a designed universe. They both picture an origin of life that surpasses chance. They both picture a diversity of life that suggests intervention from outside. And the details of Genesis 1 match our best scientific model for the early Earth. Well, further reading on these topics, I suggest our own website for the Interdisciplinary Biblical Research Institute at www.ibri.org, and the website of Hugh Ross's group Reasons to Believe at www.reasons.org. Also suggest Hugh Ross's book, The Creator and the Cosmos, our own book, Genesis 1 and the Origin of the Earth, Michael Denton's book, Nature's Destiny, Michael Behe's book, Darwin's Black Box, and the cartoon book that John Wiester and I have done, What's Darwin Got to Do with It? I think you'll find these helpful in giving evidence that nature does look like it is not self-caused, not self-existent, and that Scripture does look like it comes from the Creator of the cosmos. Thanks. Hope you will find this interesting. May you continue to study both nature and Scripture.